T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is 8:19. Esme Murphy, along with Professor David Schultz, talking about politics. Let's talk about the two front runners. I mean, I don't think you can argue that these two gentlemen are the front runners, and that is Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. I mean, would you agree with that?
I would agree. In fact, I'm going to push it further and say they represent two of, or I think, three directions for the Democratic Party right now. And I'm going to say that Bernie Sanders is the leader of the sort of the progressive wing of the party. Buttigieg seems to be now the head of the moderate wing. And the third wing of the party is Michael Bloomberg. I think the party's being pulled in three directions at this point in terms of where it goes. Now, in terms of Bernie Sanders, he's won the popular vote in the first two states, Iowa and in New Hampshire. I think he is one delegate vote behind Buttigieg in terms of overall. What's interesting, though, is that he is probably at somewhere, I'm going to guess, around 25% of the party. Throw in Elizabeth Warren, who's getting around 9 or 10%. Let's say the progressive wing of the party represents about 35% of the party. And then if we throw in, let's say, Buttigieg and Klobuchar, a couple of others, yeah, I'm guessing they're probably also somewhere around, you know, 35-40% of the party. So they're divided at this point, and I'm not seeing whether either Sanders or the Buttigieg wing, you know, Buttigieg Klobuchar wing, can really expand their bases very much at this point. And so in some sense, I feel like the party on one level is divided there, but throw in Bloomberg, who represents a different wing of the party, I guess. I'm not sure where I put it at this point. I think it's a party that's divided, you know, in three ways. But certainly these two individuals, Buttigieg and Sanders, are really the leaders at this point. And as we start to go into these next couple of states, right now we have the most recent polls having Sanders leading significantly over Buttigieg in Nevada. Biden is second place. And when we get to South Carolina, Biden and Sanders are at the top with Steyer, which is odd. And I think Buttigieg is
Steyer's in second place in South Carolina. I guess he's just spent a ton of money there.
Yeah, that's what's so odd about it. He's basically staking his a lot on that. And what's important to think about is right now between Iowa and New Hampshire, 1.6% of all the Democratic delegates have been allocated. So we're still, what, over 98% have to go. But if you start to get to South Carolina, and if Steyer gets where he's pulling out about 17 or 18% right now, I think it is, at approximately there. If he were to get, let's say, you know, 17 to 18% of the delegates, he could come out after these first four contests somewhere probably around third or fourth in delegate count.
Wow.
Yeah, because there's enough delegates in South Carolina that could help him.
You know, in terms of Bernie Sanders, I think one of the things, I mean, there are only two people right now here in Minnesota that you're seeing commercials from. And remember, Minnesota is March 3rd, part of Super Tuesday. That's very close. March 3rd isn't that far away, folks. I think we all know that. But Bernie Sanders has a lot of money. He's got a lot of staying power. He seems to have completely eclipsed Elizabeth Warren, who was the other progressive that was challenging him, this past summer. He's the ultimate comeback kid. You know, had a heart attack in the fall, looks and sounds very well, and looks like he is not going away anytime soon with that, you know, 30% of the party that is going with him. What do you see him sticking around through the convention?
I do. At this point, I mean, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of supporters and a lot of money, and I think he consistently probably gets around between 20 and 30% of the of the votes in every state, which means he gets something proportional in terms of that delegate count all along the way. He could very well, unless the dynamics change, he could very well go into the convention with the plurality. I don't know yet if he would get the majority, which means get the nomination, but he's going to have a lot of delegates. And I just don't see him going anywhere at this point. His supporters are fervently behind him. So he's going to be there for the long haul. And this is going to be interesting to watch when we get to Minnesota. Now, we already have had early voting going on for a while. Don't know what's happening in the early voting in terms of who they're casting ballots for. But what I think is going to be fascinating leading up to March 3rd is who, like you said, who does actually campaign here? We know Bloomberg is running a lot of ads. What does he have, like 8 offices or something like that in the state at this point? Bernie's been here a couple times. I suspect Warren's going to be here. Klobuchar is going to have to come back to Minnesota to campaign because she can't guarantee that it's her state that she's going to win. And it probably wouldn't look good also if she didn't win her home state. And so this complicates her strategy going into Super Tuesday, where she needs to be elsewhere also.
And Bernie Sanders did very well. He crushed Hillary Clinton. It was almost 2-1 back in 2016 in the caucuses. Really, really, really well. I want to ask you about Pete Buttigieg, because this is somebody who has been the mayor of a town that's not a whole lot bigger than Bloomington, Minnesota. And he is one of the front runners in this race. Yeah. I think he's just a breathtakingly good speaker. I mean, he really is so eloquent. And he just is Senator Klobuchar said it. He's a beautiful speaker. He really does has a way with words, a way with saying things and presenting things. He's obviously extremely smart. He knows who the president of Mexico is. And he has an appeal that certainly has staying power. Is there, and he's gotten hit hard, but it doesn't seem to have, nicked him that much. Can he hang on to basically, and it looks like Amy Klobuchar is the one who's nipping at his heels, not Joe Biden. Now, right. I mean, can a guy who is whose biggest office has been mayor of a town that's the city that not a whole lot bigger than Bloomington, Minnesota, and who is openly gay and is happily married to a man, is that something that's going to work in conservative southern states, which actually traditionally go Republican?
No, the simple answer is it doesn't look like it is so far, because, again, the polls are suggesting, again, in South Carolina that he is barely an asterisk in terms of how he's performing at this point. And that's going to be his challenge, because almost no Democrat. In fact, I'm going to say no Democrat is going to hold states or win states like South Carolina and so forth in the general election. They are important states for the primary. And when we get to Super Tuesday, getting even beyond a little bit further, beyond South Carolina, we get to states like Texas that are coming up. Texas is going to have, 266, I think that's what the number is, something like that, approximately, delegates to the national convention. It's going to be tough, because if he can't figure out a way of broadening his base, then he's not going to come out of Super Tuesday looking great there. Now, maybe he does really well in California, which I think will be more supportive of somebody like Buttigieg in terms of, let's say, his sexual orientation or identity. But also, he's running as one of the more moderates, and will this now work? Will his ideology be a problem for him going into California? So I think he's got a complex path. And the point that we're sort of getting at here, none of the candidates has a clear path to the nomination. None of the candidates has sort of a perfect profile that can unite all the other Democrats, at least very quickly, which is, again, suggesting a long primary process where it could be weeks and weeks before we have a clear picture. But there's no question that over the next approximately 2.5 weeks, we got Nevada, South Carolina, and then Super Tuesday. By the time that's done, and plus the states we've already had done, we're going to have nearly what? I'm going to say 38 to 39% of all the delegates have been selected at that point.
All right. Well, listen, we have to take a quick break right now. We want to come back and give you some weather. When we come back with David Schultz, we're going to talk about Super Tuesday, how big a deal it is. You just heard him say 38% of the delegates will have been chosen by then. I think 34% are up just on Super Tuesday alone. And also talk about Michael Bloomberg. And we don't want to leave out President Trump, who's been certainly, of course, making headlines all week, as he always does. His campaign gearing up big time. He's having these rallies all across the country. He's going to states where there have been contests and getting big crowds. So we'll ask David Schultz about that. So keep it here. News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.